to Expounded Universe, Season 9, Episode 11, Mad About Goo. The book, Crucible, by Troy Denning. The year, 2013. With your illustrious hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go.
Welcome back. It's Expounded Universe, the Star Wars Expanded Universe novel discussion podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. That was perfect, and it's because I'm too fucking tired to mess up.
Yeah, that's right. You're too tired to start thinking about something else in the middle of something.
You see, John, the problem I suffer from is rampant anxiety and ADHD.
See, the problem I suffer from is stinky dick.
It's true. I do have a stinky dick, and it's causing you suffering.
Just right out the gate with it. Man, I'm sorry, folks.
We even have complaints these days.
Yeah,
well. There's people who are mad at us for doing too much dick stuff because they're trying to listen to this at work on little speakers.
I've never had complaints about the amount of dick stuff I've done before, and I'll be damned if I start listening to anything now.
That's because boinging is for you.
Sesame Street.
So yeah, because of my crippling anxiety stuff, I tend to spend a lot of my time unable to focus on the task at hand and just sort of stammering and saying dumb shit. But when I'm so tired that my next move is going to be to fall asleep, I become laser focused.
Oh yeah.
I'm too tired to think about something else. I'm
exactly.
Here for the show.
You're like, I got one thought and there is no possible way another one can get in there. It's taken all the energy I have to focus on a thing.
I should stop sleeping.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably the right choice for me.
Yeah, no, every time we record, you should just get real sleep deprived and then we can show up and you'll hallucinate a little and it'll be great.
Good news, John. Sage is 2 next month, so I'm never going to sleep again.
Oh, good. Great. I'm excited for this brand new world.
Yeah, this brand new world where I've got dark raccoon rings around my eyes.
Fabulous.
And I actually have a favorite flavor of Monster as opposed to like just...
I mean, you already have a favorite flavor of Monster. Let's not kid ourselves in the audience.
That's fair. I won't lie to the people.
Yeah.
My favorite flavor is the pink one that says it's juice.
I thought it was the orange one that said it's juice.
No. I've recently discovered the value of the pink one that says it's juice because they were out of the orange one.
Oh, okay.
And I tried the pink one. I was like, hot shit, this is good. So,
what's the flavor on that one?
Pink juice.
Ooh, nice.
I love that
pink juice.
I can tell you the actual name of it because I think it's Pipeline Punch.
Ooh, so it's just a fruit punch.
Yeah, and as long listeners of the show will know, I do not mix well with pipelines. I should stay out of them because they'll kill me. But good Lord, it's delicious.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So this time on Expounded Universe, we're discussing chapters 21 and 22 of Crucible. And we begin with the Skywalker and Organa Solo family.
Yes.
And poor Omad. I really felt like he was going to be relevant in these books at some point.
You thought. He's mostly there just so that they can go, he's like Han, isn't he? Anyway, moving on.
He's kind of Han-ish.
Yeah, he's got that
Han
energy.
I'm still 100% convinced of my fears at the end of the previous episode that they're going to introduce a clone Leia who's younger, so they can set her up with a spare Han Solo that's just farting around the galaxy.
They're like, here you go. We couldn't kill off the original, like, big three, but we can make new big threes and send them off.
So that's still my fear, which will actually get a little more fearful as we make our way through
so
today's.
So fearful.
So scary. But yeah, we're hanging out with them. They are making their way
downtown, walking fast. Faces pass.
With their feet 10 feet off of Beal.
Different song.
Different song, but a preferable song to me.
I
don't even know who does Walking in Memphis specifically. I feel like there's a lot of covers of it that are all pretty similar.
Well, there's the one cover by Lone Star, I believe.
Yeah.
Which don't do that. But Mark Cohn is
the
original.
Okay. Which I do appreciate. But the option is some Vanessa Carlton song you were doing there?
Yeah.
I would walk 1,000 miles.
Yeah, that's
There's
it.
There's already a better... Oh, is it 5,000? How many miles would she walk? I don't like that song. Tell me how many miles.
2 miles.
I'd walk
2 miles.
She'd walk 2 miles?
I'd walk at least 2 miles.
Didn't she release that after the Proclaimers?
Oh, yeah.
They already set the standard.
Oh, yeah. But she was like, That's nuts.
That's crazy.
Look, I don't like you that much, but I'll tell you what I do like you. I'll walk 2 miles. How's that? 2 miles?
I don't like you proclaimers much.
Yeah. I like you regular people.
When I haber, I will haber by myself. Okay. So, yeah, chapter 21 opens with Luke and Ben and Leia and Lando and Omad and Dina Use all on the Falcon. They are investigating what they are fairly sure is one of the beacons that might be ringing the great expanding space region around the not-quite-Mortis monolith.
Yeah, they've been searching for a way into this bubble. Mm-hmm. Like, that was their whole thing last time, just going, like, beacon to beacon, trying to find something. And this time, they're like, ooh, I think we got something.
Yeah, it's like there's something special about this beacon.
Yeah.
It's calling to them.
Well, the big thing about the beacon is as soon as they get near it, it starts giving off like an alarm.
Yeah, like there's a big strobe light that goes off. And at first I kind of mistook it for that's just what beacons do, you know, because for me, I thought these things were like going to be big lighthouse imageries. Mm-hmm. So when it was like, oh, it fires off a big blue light and it kind of lights up the plasma for kilometers in every direction, I was like, oh, cool. They're like lighthouses. That's sort of neat. Because everything's all thick and smoky in this part of space.
Just like me.
Yeah, you're all thick and smoky.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm ready to get eaten. I've been slow smoked for about 12 hours now.
We are hickory curing them. So, it turns out that that's not the case. These things don't just light up the night sky and attract Robert Pattinson's. They instead...
What is Robert Pattinson, the Mothman?
No, he's the movie The Lighthouse.
Oh.
He's
oh,
one of him and oh, him and Willem
oh,
Dafoe.
Oh.
You see, I'm sorry, was that one too much? Was it too... I'm sorry.
I don't know.
It's a good movie. Have you seen it? It's a fucking...
No.
Honestly, it's a very good movie.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
It,
I mean...
It looked very weird, and I want to see it.
And here's the thing. It's from the makers of the Vavitch or whatever,
no,
so my first thought was, I don't know. I didn't like The Witch, because... I feel like you guys like jerk off to just the concept of atmosphere. That's your whole thing. You're just like, yeah, long shots of forests. But I mean, ultimately, Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe's performances just blow that thing to a new level.
Sweet,
it's so good.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you know, check it out sometime. You'll dig it.
I will.
It's on Netflix. No, wait, no, it isn't. I forget where I watched
it. Wait a minute.
I paid for it. I paid for it. I paid dollars cash.
The dime.
Yeah, I saw it in a theater on opening day. I just forgot. Well, I think Robert Pattinson was there.
Yeah.
I was with the Graumans. So,
I mean, was Willem Dafoe.
I am Willem Dafoe.
Hi.
Look, folks, it's finally time for me to reveal a secret about myself. I'm Willem Dafoe, and I put my dick in a movie in Antichrist. And I don't know, probably some other movies. I maybe Spider-Man. Did he get his dick out in Spider-Man?
I mean, not that you saw, but yes.
I'm something of a scientist myself, so, Peter.
Oh, put that away.
What's your dick out then?
Oh, I'm something of a dick scientist.
I'm going to try that pickup line.
I'm something of a dick scientist. Let me know how that goes for you.
I will. You know, if they're cool enough, they're going to they're gonna pick up the Spider-Man reference.
And my dick.
Which I will, of course, have put on the ground.
Yes.
It turns out that the strobe is not a lighthouse thing. It's an alarm going off. And they have an additional confirmation from that immediately, because in the radio echo, like the black area on the inside of the alarm, they can kind of make out two ship signatures that are kind of coming off of the there's sort of like a service repair landing dock on these beacon things.
Yeah, so they have like a blue pulse of light goes out, and that's enough for them to kind of make out that there are two ships.
They start making
there.
Out.
Yeah, it's enough for them to make out. They don't really need much.
just a nice blue light in the darkness. Any excuse, right, Leia?
Blue Light in the Darkness is an amazing album to make out to, so.
Yeah, that's a Vanessa Carlton album, if I remember correctly.
Right?
Yeah. She's like,
and I would walk 1,000 miles. Everyone remembers that famous Vanessa Carlton song.
The one where she was like, fuck you, the Proclaimers. I've doubled it.
What's up? Your move now, Proclaimers. The bet is to you.
And when the money comes in for the work I do, I'll send every single penny home to you. Proclaimers trying to keep some pennies. Yeah, it's Bezalix. It's just more Bezalix. I mean, I hope you weren't expecting a more interesting ship because it's fucking Mandos again.
Well, yeah, because at this point they're like, oh, well, maybe it was a couple maintenance guys. And they're like, no one's out here doing maintenance on this dumb thing, and especially not a crew of two of them.
I'd like to know who's doing maintenance on these things anyway. I mean, we know the Rift Mesh is put in place by like a local miners guild.
Yeah, by a locomotive.
Like a yeah, yeah, a locomotive.
Thomas the Tank Engine is out here putting down buoys.
Yeah, people keep telling him he can't, and he's like, but I think I can. We good? We good? We had enough making fun of me?
Are we going to have Sir Topham Hat the Jedi? What are we doing here?
Almost. I mean, we get some authoritarian shit right quick on coming up here. Because, yeah, so they see Bezalix out there, and so everyone starts going into battle mode, which means Lando is like, hey, Omad, go to the back of the ship and start prepping the YVH droids and getting flight suits ready and stuff like that.
He's like, but I'm going to be the pilot.
But I'm the pilot. I'm a bona fide spaceship pilot, and I'm really good at it. And Lando's like, yeah, kid, you live in a Jedi world, though.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't think you understand. There's two people that use the Force here, and also... Even if they didn't, Luke's a better pilot than you, so why don't you just fuck
right
off?
There's four Jedi on the Falcon right now because Ben and Tahiri are here too. And they're just going to, the two of them are going to go run the guns. Lando is just going to sit there. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I felt really bad for Omad in this sequence because he's like, but I'm a really good pilot.
Because it starts out and it seems like they're going to be nice to him because he's being all cocky and like flashing the old Han Solo grins and be like, oh, I'm sure that this is happening. And like, hey, if you want to turn around now instead of go find Han. And like, he's being essentially the Han replacement that they're writing him up to be.
Yeah.
And then immediately they're like, oh, yeah, but fuck you, though.
Yeah, go sit down. We're Jedi. Fuck off. And I'm like, ah, that feels like shit to me to be like, no one's skill set matters if there's a Jedi in the room.
They're like, look, if you want the job of flying the Falcon, we're going to need you to have at least 10 years experience and a couple of good recommendation
letters. Look, this is the West End Games version of Star Wars, and we're high level, so fuck off. You picked wrong early.
you goofed. Why did you pick not Force user?
That's a big mistake. Lando's come to terms with it. I sure have.
He put all of his points into just having wealth.
Yeah, he just, every single diamond or every single character point into money was all Lando did. He's got five dots in mining skill.
Yeah.
Okay, so reluctantly, Omad goes to the back of the ship to start prepping the YVH droids. Luke and Leia have a brief argument over who's going to fly. Luke ends up being the one who's going to fly. Leia is going to prep the torpedo tubes. And this is funny because Luke's like, Leia, I don't know if you should run the torpedo tubes. Because he's worried that she's going to indiscriminately murder the Mandalorians.
Yeah, she's like, oh, look, you don't have to worry about me going all Dark Leia on you.
Full caps! It's Dark Leia with capital both words as if that's like a thing that they have agreed. That.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a shadow fighter that you can get is Dark Leia.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've read the Crystal Star. I know how she kind of goes evil every once in a while, and it's like normal, but still, the fact that they're like, yeah, it's Dark Leia. You know, I had to defeat her once in a book.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to go Dark Leia. It's just the torpedo tubes have been glitchy, and well, I should go down there because I know how to use them.
I'm going to be honest. This book does a lot to try and set up Luke as sort of like a moral force master and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But every single time, in this chapter, it's especially bad. He comes off as like a giggling, like lawful evil giggling murderer who's just looking for an excuse. Just any excuse will do.
Because, I mean, it starts out and he's like, look, I don't want you to go down there because you're all pissed off about Han, so maybe you're going to start trying to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all right, fine, I'll stay up here. And, you know, when they first see the Bezalisks, they don't have them, like, because of all the interference of the plasma and whatnot going on, none of them can get a lock on each other, really.
Yeah.
They're having super hard times with all of their instruments, but he's like, look, we're not going to do anything. We can't shoot first. We're the good guys. And then immediately
they shoot missiles.
They get a target lock, and R2's like, hey, target lock. And then Luke just flips the switch and is like, all right, murder these fuckers.
Well, no, the first thing they do is they see the launch coronas of missiles coming out of the Bezalix. And he just looks over at Leia and is like, ha-ha, they shot at us. Time to fucking murder them. And he's not in any danger.
Oh, no. He's just like, oh, well, that's all the provocation I needed. They're coming right for us.
Exactly. He just pulls in there, come a Jimbo. It's ridiculous, and it feels ridiculous in this chapter where he's just like, oh, look, they fired non-threatening mosquito bite missiles at us that will never hit and will do nothing. Feel free to murder them however you want, Leia. Go ahead and be real vicious about it.
And
make sure they're scared.
The great thing is, they do the same fucking trick they've done throughout this entire book.
I don't know if the author was hoping that this would be impressive again.
But by this point, I'm just like, oh, I guess that's just what you do if you're a force user on a ship now is you just fart out a missile without any sort of target lock. They go, oh, you fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the last second, you curve it around and hit them with it. And you're like, ha-ha, I murdered you and there was nothing you could do.
Yeah. No, it's so mean. And they know the missile's coming because they see it happen to the other ships. But yeah, it's just the same thing as always. They don't even worry about the incoming missiles. They just fart out a couple missiles, like John said, and Leia just uses the Force to guide them into one of the two Bezeliks, which just explodes immediately.
Yeah.
And the other one turns and runs.
Well, yeah, because then, you know,
they got to dodge the missiles.
Yeah,
still.
Luke just dodges the missiles and is like, all right, anyway, hey, let's go fuck that guy up and murder him, too.
Let's Leia. Leia's like, that one's getting away. Get him. Fucking kill him. And Luke's like, no, they're running. We need a second excuse of provocation before we can just murder them. And she's like, no, dumbass, we need to follow them because they know where Base Prime is.
Well, yes, because she's just like, oh, go after that guy. And Luke's like, hey, they're running. We let him go.
Mm-hmm.
And Leia has to be like, no, I don't even mean let's murder them. I do mean we need to follow them because we don't know what the fuck we're doing.
But they are running for help right now, which means they're probably going to Base Prime.
Yeah, because if you, you know, check your instruments right now and see that nothing fucking works, the only way they can deliver a message about incoming Jedi is to actually go deliver it by hand.
Yes, and so that's probably what they're off and doing. And so Luke, you know, once he realizes the obviousness of Leia's argument, sets a course and pursues.
Yes.
And then this is when shit goes all kind of Dune for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, because Luke heads after them, and they go into essentially just a giant swirly blue liquid plasma zone.
Yeah, there's like a whole swirly liquid part. There's just pool planet here.
Yeah. I mean, Ben's like, oh, when did we fly into a lake? And Luke's just like, shut up.
Which is, what a mean thing to say to your kid. There's nothing important going on. You're just following that enemy ship. It's not
well,
like.
Yeah, your kid's like, haha, let's have fun. And he's just like, hey, shut your mouth.
Tahiri, slap him. Use one of your big stinky feet.
I want you to foot slap him in the face.
Don't do that, Dad. I'm into it.
Okay. All right, fine. Foot slap me in the face.
Wait, I'm into it. The Jedi Code doesn't say anything about dank feet.
And then, as he's flowing through this blue pool of nonsense, I guess time stops?
For everyone but Luke, time kind of stops. He looks over at R2, who was between two different display modes on his little readout screen.
Leia's just frozen, but still, like, her eyes are still, like, lively and awake, mm-hmm. but she's not moving.
Yes. And everyone else on the ship just shuts up completely. But Luke is experiencing this kind of overwhelming blueness, almost like he blew himself.
Yeah. And he, in order to keep his shit together, mm-hmm. is like, all right, I gotta reach out as much with the Force as I can to just sort of lock on to these Mandalorians so I can know where I'm going.
Yeah.
And because he has just opened himself up as much to the Force as he can, and they're going towards a giant dark side artifact,
mm-hmm.
he's like, oh no, my Ghiblis.
Yeah, so everything turns all blue for a second, but thankfully he manages to get a lock on these two little guys who live in a blue world. You all right?
Yeah.
And all day and all night?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, just making sure you understood where I was going with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad to hear it. So, yeah. Eventually the whole thing kind of ends. They pass through the blue plasma, and Luke immediately yells, kill those fuckers! He's just...
Well, I mean, what happens is, he gets so fucked up by the dark side thing that he's, like, clutching his wound on his side, and he's all messed up,
yeah.
and he barely even realizes that he is about to go ramming speed up this Mandalorian's ass.
Yeah, interestingly,
like, ow, fuck.
There's a mention made of twin ion engines here, because I guess the Bezalix have twin ion engines on
them.
But to me, that's one kind of ship that has twin ion engines. So the moment it was like, oh my gosh, there's twin ion engines, and they're just like, you could throw a rock and hit them out the ship. They're so close. And I was like, how did TIE fighters get here? What are we doing? Why are there TIE fighters?
Who's TIE fighter?
But no, it's not that. It's just the Bezalix also have TIE engines, and I guess they call them something different. But yeah, he realizes that, starts the evasive maneuvers, and yells at Leia to kill them. Kill these guys right now.
Yeah, he's like, open fire! Oh, shit!
Oh, jeez! And it's not because he's worried about hitting them. It's just because he doesn't want them to get away and warn anybody. So again, he's... It's fine to murder people, apparently.
Oh, it's fine to murder people if it's a benefit to you.
Yeah. That's the Jedi code. Murder people if you'll get something.
Yeah. I was like, oh, well, we couldn't let them talk to anyone, so we blew their ship up.
Right away. We didn't just disable it. No, we vaporized them and completely murdered them because, you know, we're good guys. They were running, but we're good guys.
Yeah. And Leia's like, hey, you know, we still need to find Base Prime. Like, you probably shouldn't have just ordered us to blow them up immediately before we knew where we were going. And he's just like, ooh, Base Prime found us.
Yeah, apparently that blue light they encounter was just sort of the attention, the Sauron eye of the monolith looking at them.
I assume that's just going through the membrane of the bubble is my assumption.
Oh, okay, so we think that the bubble...
Because it's the whole time distortion thing.
Yeah, but we're thinking that the bubble is itself an extension of Base Prime.
No, I'm assuming it was just he reached out with the Force and a dark side thing was nearby.
Okay, very good, yeah. But he's like, no, they just found us. We don't need to look for them. And Leia's not, to her credit, or not to her credit, why doesn't she just go, yeah, but that doesn't help us at all.
Yeah,
I mean, like it's going to come to us. What are you talking about?
I mean, unless you really want to, I guess, lock on to that dark side thing some more and clutch your side and be weird about it.
Oh, it found us. Yeah, that doesn't help. That's like we're going to drive to Disneyland and Disneyland knows we're here. It's not going to get up and come over here for us. We still need the map.
We still got to get there.
Yeah. Okay, so indeed, that is the end of the chapter.
Yep.
Because, you know, I think it just found us is an appropriately ominous line.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because really, that's not the kind of thing where the scene's going to cut, sure, but then you still have Leia sitting there next to him like, so?
What?
What's our heading, dummy?
Okay, great. So should I just put in the coordinates of found us, or what are we doing here?
Hey, Dad, was that a lake? I swear to God, Ben.
Ben, so help me God. I will turn this right around.
It's just, that seemed like it was like a big lake, Dad. I don't understand what the problem.
If I need to reach back there.
Well, actually, I kind of agree with him. This is me, Omad Keg. I also kind of saw a lake outside.
Oh, you're not allowed to talk just on principle.
But Luke, I definitely saw a lake out there. It's me, Lando Calrissian. You know me.
That's so funny, Lando. You're one of the people I like. Not my son, though.
He just likes Lando. You're right, Lando. There was a lake out there. I'm glad someone mentioned it.
Finally, some funny commentary here to lighten the mood. Thanks, Lando.
Fucking son. Okay. So we have to cut to what's up with Han, and this shit's getting weird.
Han has to be essentially force-dragged along with Bardoon / Jonas Ram, because he's still just dicking around over at the cutoff Nargon arm, being like, hey, look at that.
Yeah, well, he's sitting there like looking at handiwork. Like, last thing that we saw with Han was that he was shooting out, like, comm channels and stuff like that on some display console to make it harder to track him. Which isn't going to work.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's been on camera the whole time. The Kolomis are just like Shizor. They're going to be like, yes, we're watching his every move from a million tiny cameras. We'll save this later for further observation in slow motion.
Ugh.
But, Jonas keeps getting ahead of him and then yelling for Han to follow. And O'Holly's like, I don't understand what our plan is here. Why are we following this maniac? This seems like a bad decision.
And, you know, it is, but to, you know, Haunt's credit, he's like, yeah, but there's sort of nothing else we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am absolutely fucked up.
Yeah.
You are mostly fucked up. And he's the only guy that has any remote idea of what he's doing.
Plus, he's just crazy powerful, apparently. But there's also, we learn a few new things about Han here. First of all, his head's been shaved.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's got to have that for all the plugs to go in.
Yeah, so his head's been shaved. One of his hands has a permanent tremor now. He's just really bad. Things are bad.
He's gotten real fucked up.
But, you know, him and O'Holly are kind of grudgingly following along behind Bardoon, or Jonas Ram, whatever you want to call him.
Whatever he wants to call himself.
Who decides to stop and have a little pep talk with Han at this point to explain why he's following. And he's like, you are following me because you desire revenge.
Yes, I will feed you revenge. And at first, he doesn't even get it. He's like, revenge? What do you mean? Like, yeah, I hate the Krevs, but fuck them. And then he's like, oh, it's because they told me that Luke and Leia were dead. Well, I don't think that's true.
I didn't believe him. And Jonas Ram is like, Jonas Ram sensed no deceit in their voices.
Yeah.
Using the Force.
I'm a Force guy, and I can tell that.
Neither did you, O'Holly Serac, did you?
No.
They might have just been wrong, though. And this is when, hopefully this is the last time.
God damn it. Especially this one, where it's Han has to be like, oh no. Kalumi don't make mistakes. They are never wrong. And I'm like, oh, my dude.
How have you not noticed that they've been wrong constantly in the several weeks you've spent with them?
How have you not realized that these two clown idiots are just like, we're so smart. Oh, anyway, time to go.
Fear our Titanic brains. My favorite book is Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality.
These guys.
I'm a libertarian.
These fucking guys.
We could not possibly be smarter. Debate me.
Change my mind. So yeah, like at this point, Han, like even when O'Holly's like, well, maybe they're wrong. He's like, no, they're never wrong. Everyone I know is dead. I guess it's time to murder everyone.
No, I think
it's a good thing I'm not a Force user, or else I'd be in the dark side right now.
Yeah. He's like, well, he literally thinks that. It's a good thing I'm not a Force user because I can't go to the dark side.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yes, you can, dummy.
I mean, the dark side is more of a philosophy, really. Oh, no, wait. No, it isn't. It's lightning. That's what the dark side is.
The dark side is lightning.
Yeah.
And having facial scars.
That's right.
And dressing in black. That's the dark side. But, you know, he's like, wait a minute. You're right. I do want to kill those bastards. They killed my wife. Oh, I'm so mad now.
Oh.
It's weird to me that this thought had not crossed his head until this point.
Yeah.
That maybe they weren't lying.
He was like, oh, wait a minute.
And again, this is Jedi superiority just out and on open display, because he's like, oh, no, they were definitely lying. No, they weren't. I'm a Jedi. Oh, shit.
Oh, should have someone with the Force said it? Well, now it's true. Just like a Kalumi is never wrong.
Oh, yeah. Insane people who aren't quite sure which one of these two names is right. They're completely trustworthy.
Oh, yeah. They've got the right of things.
You'd never lie to me, Bardoon / Jonas Ram, an insane
Mandalorian
latent life Force user.
No, of course not. You can trust me. Ugh.
I shoot lightning all over the place. Completely stand-up guy.
But at this point, he's like, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to go get blood. And O'Holly has to just fucking hit him in the stomach with the rifle and be like, hey, you realize he's just doing this to rile you up and make you angry to feed off of it. It's what he does.
It's his whole thing is he likes nearby people to be all angry and pissed off because he eats that shit. That's his Jedi thing.
All the bad emotions, all the fear and anger and hatred, that's what he eats to get power.
He's just a psychic vampire, Han. You could do better. You need to move on from this guy. He's
Let
toxic.
Let me show you this article about 15 ways to interact with an introvert.
So you're saying I should bring him a book and see if he pays attention to me then?
You're saying I should just be near them and maybe they will deign to acknowledge my presence?
Invite him over, but don't talk to him. Just let him get at my dog.
Invite him over and let him eat all my snacks and play my video games. And if I say anything, I'm the jerk.
Yes, that is what Jonas Ram desires.
Jonas Ram is introverted. You should accommodate me.
Oh, Jonas Ram has adapted to a new level of existence. He's now an extroverted introvert.
I love the attention, but I hate it.
Jonas Ram discovered this on Facebook.
I took a quiz about it on BuzzFeed.
Let me also tell you Jonas Ram's Myers-Briggs results.
Astrology is bullshit, but let me tell you about my Myers-Briggs.
The intercom crackles up, and the Kreft brothers are like, yeah, astrology is bullshit.
You're right.
But the QAnon thing, that's real. Okay, yeah. Boring conversation anyway.
Thanks.
The smartest people in the world are on 4chan.
Shoot.
Okay, fine. I'm going to the dark side if it means killing these two.
Yeah, and I mean, that's basically Han's response is, yeah, I don't care if he's eating all my anger. If it means I get to murder these idiots, whatever. He can have it.
The fappening was our idea.
Get out. Get murdered.
Okay. We're still following Jonas Ram along, but he's like, okay, we end up in some lab.
Yeah. There's a lab with a bunch of just goo tanks.
And cool-looking robots.
Just goo tanks fighting Cell, and it's...
Close.
Almost got you with that one.
Yeah, I was sipping a drink. You almost got... Super donut!
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of these weird green goo tanks that basically just looks like if someone had a pool that they didn't clean and all the algae got over everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
it's that.
If you're wandering through the advanced aquarium section in the back of a good pet store.
The advanced aquarium.
Yeah, you know, the part where it's like, oh, we built these terrariums ourselves. In fact, don't even call them terrariums. These are for toad storage, so they're paludariums.
Ah! The paludarium.
Real, look it up. It's a real word. This has been Jeff's Word Corner.
Good. Thanks.
Next week on Word Corner, dick.
Oh, more?
Yeah, it's commonly the word of the week.
They get in here, and Bardoon runs off to do something, and Han's like, hey, I'm going to go make sure the airlock is locked.
Very good, Solo. I will allow you 2 minutes because you need to come and look at this.
Okay.
Oh, man, please don't be your dick.
No.
I promise it's not.
It is.
I don't keep my promises. I'm a Sith.
So he goes off with O'Holly to sort of wander around these tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out they get near one and... like a clone of O'Holly just sort of comes out from the goo and presses their face against the thing.
Careful, they're not clones. They're biots.
Oh, yes. They are biots, not clones.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
We need to know that they're not clones and they're not synth droids. They're biots.
Yes.
Yeah. A biot of O'Holly Serac comes up to the glass and is clearly broken.
Yeah. And it's still like... putting the flesh on the metal skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, you can see it's got like a weird bulbous thing on the side of its face, and it's definitely not a perfect replication.
Yeah, yeah. So they're looking at this with like some horror, and O'Holly's like, yeah, this isn't the first time. This isn't the first time I've seen one of these.
But it still really fucks me up every time it happens.
They're way better at doing it if the person isn't a force user. Something about force sensitivity messes these clones up almost every time.
Biots.
Messes these biots up. Messes up these bionicles.
Because with the biots... instead of just cloning someone, they're trying to do something more with it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like, ooh, we're going to remake your brain, but have it be wired the way we want to.
Well, yeah, they're going to addict them to the Ketracel White.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they have to change things. And in making the flesh and trying to make it also a force user, sometimes things go wrong.
Yeah. Welcome to the new flesh, they always say.
Yeah. And then they reach into their side vagina and pull out a gun.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Nice.
So Han is still looking all boggled at the O'Holly biot that he's looking at, and he's like, will that thing on its face ever heal? And from behind him, a voice goes, no, it will not. That one is likely to fail the next quality inspection.
We gonna flush it.
We're gonna basically strip it for parts. And he turns around, and it's just one of the droids. There's a bunch of, like, bio droids wandering around in here.
I do like how the weird little biot medical droid thing is just super chill. He's like, oh yeah, we're totally gonna scrap this one. It's all fucked up. Anyway, hey dude, you got some like identification or whatever?
I know. It's like the second thought this robot has.
Oh yeah, I guess I've never seen you before and this is a highly restricted area, but what's up, my dude that's obviously been tortured?
Oh yeah, classified information. We're definitely gonna burn it. You know, my job's a real drag, but you got any, like, identification or whatever, man?
I gotta do it or they're gonna fire me.
It'd be cool if you had set a hand roll, bro.
You got any identification? I'll take a Vaughn's card.
And Han's like, and he just shoots it in the head. So there you go.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, all part of the plan that he tells to O'Holly off-screen.
Not to us. He shares a plan with O'Holly. These two chapters have a couple different moments of weird denying things to the audience or second-person dialogue. There's a line in the first chapter that I forgot to mention that I wanted to, which is like, unfortunately, the Mandalorians had assumed the Jedi had merely failed to achieve target lock. And then a whole new paragraph that's just, never assume.
Don't do it.
And I was like, who are you talking to
Jedi
right now?
Will murder you.
Is that to me?
Yeah.
The reader?
Hey, gentle reader. These Jedi will fuck you up.
Never assume, because it'll make an ass out of you and me. Huh? Huh?
Yeah.
That's the first time this has ever come up in this Star Wars book, huh?
Weird, right?
Yeah. No one ever heard that phrase before 2013.
So, at this point, they just start blowing up control panels and robots, but they aren't shooting the tanks themselves so much.
Yeah, which is weird. I guess because they feel some sense of mercy for these things. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
Han,
they're alive.
Finds one that is him.
He finds a Han, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a 30 years ago Han, and he's like, oh man, I don't know whether to shoot this thing or help it out and be like a big brother do it.
Well, it doesn't help that the Han comes floating up to the side of the glass and taps at it and points at Han and then points at himself and then points at Han again. Like,
he's like,
hey,
it's you. It's me. It's you.
It's me. It's you. Huh? Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Come on. Huh? So Han's just like, ah, damn it. This one's got feelings and shit. It's a little me. We should find little Leia and marry him off. Well.
Speaking of.
Yeah. So here's... I mean, we don't have to get to that part just yet, because the next thing they do is they just start, like John was saying earlier, they just start indiscriminately blasting into the ceiling and trying to kill all the droids in here.
Yeah, there are some weird spider droids.
Yeah, I assume they're just there to be menacing. They're like the alleyway chittering Purge characters. And they're just like, well, oh yes, we installed robots on the ceiling to menacingly click.
Do they do anything? Oh no.
Nothing you'd want to know about. They take nude pictures.
I mean, my assumption is the spider bots are there to, I don't know, probably do weird stuff with the biots.
I mean, they might be cleaning up all the ooze. That might be their secret.
Yeah, they might be all up in this goo.
Yeah, they're goo spiders. That could be goo spiders. We don't know.
Who knows?
But anyway,
we're killing those.
We're killing them now.
And at one point, Han's like, all right, I'm going to tell you the plan. Cut to, I have already told you the plan. Anyway,
yeah,
you should get into this goo chamber with a little snorkel, and then you'll do your part of the plan, and I'll do mine.
And Jonas in the Jonas Rom, in the meantime, is yelling from somewhere off screen, Han, that does not sound like securing an airlock. Don't make me drag you over here, Han.
Han, it's been 2 minutes.
Yeah, this guy is so weird. I love him. But eventually Han goes over to have a look at whatever the hell it is he's doing. And before he gets a chance to really figure it out, Jonas Ram is already grilling him about where the hell O'Holly Serac is.
Yeah. Like, hey, what happened to O'Holly Serac? She wandered off. Where? I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, that's not my job, dude. She's some Jedi. I don't know. Apparently this mollifies Jonas. I assume that Jonas saw right through it, just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, he's like, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, I've got my weird sex doll Leia biot, so we should go.
This is the princess I was referring to in the previous chapter, Han. Jeff was right.
It says in the book.
And we were like, oh shit, is this a never ending story situation?
Oh no. Moonchild!
Artax! You've got to live! This is the saddest part of the movie.
Oh, fight the sadness, Artax. I can't. I'm a horse. I'm just going to die for something else stupid anyway.
This is definitely sadder than that Rockbiter part.
And then he got to the Rockbiter part later in the movie and was like, oh, no, this is way sadder. He was bad.
He was like, I'm completely indifferent to this because I'm already real sad about the horse death.
No one's sad about horse death. It's horses. They'll die for no reason.
I mean, I'm not personally sad about general horse death, and
General horse death is amazing. If he died, I would be super sad.
Shit, I just named my next Sentinels character.
Anyway,
yeah, there's a Leia print. There's a Princess Leia that's like 20 years old in here.
Yeah, and is even in like a loose fitting white outfit that's pretty much just what she was wearing in A New Hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she doesn't look broken or messed up in any way. She just looks like a pretty well-made copy of a Princess Leia.
Except she has basically nothing going on upstairs. She just sort of seems like a scared animal.
Yes.
She's just kind of like hiding behind Bardoon and just kind of looking around furtively, not saying anything.
Mm-hmm. So they have a little discussion about what this thing is and what they're doing with it. And Han's like, oh, shoot, is that the princess? And he's like, it's not your princess, Han. This is Jonas Ram's princess.
At that point, he's like, fucking, I don't even want to think about this. Ew.
God damn it. And then there's a brief kind of altercation, discretion, or a moment of tenseness between the two of them where Jonas Ram is like, yes, and Jonas Ram knows what he must do. And then he raises his hands and gets sparkle fingers.
Yeah. And, you know, they had been having a rough patch here in that Han was like, hey, don't take a weird half-formed biot. You got to put her back in the oven for a bit. She ain't done cooking.
This isn't ready yet. There's no time for that, Han Solo.
And so they're arguing, and then he's like, and oh, by the way, crackle fingers, and I'm not gonna say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh fuck, he's gonna murder me.
So he does a jumpy shoot dive,
dives into a sloppy pile of goo and yeah. blasts and Bardoon in the chest.
Everyone's gooped up real good. He tries shooting at Bardoon a bit, but he can't tell what happens. He just knows that the lightning stops happening, and that's when he turns around and sees that there's Nargons now.
And he's like, oh, I'm a dumbass.
I've been shooting at my ally because he's a weird, creepy force monster.
Because instead of saying, get down, there's Nargons,
yeah.
he just unloaded lightning at my head.
Yeah, which was going to miss him and hit the Nargons. But eventually, Han gets into a position where he's got cover from the Nargons, and they're just standing there firing lasers indiscriminately into the room. In fact, the Nargons are hoping to reflect blasters off the far wall and catch him on the rebound. But Jonas Ram comes stumbling up to him with a big smoking blaster hole in his leg that he's still just putting full weight on because he fucking doesn't care.
No, if there's one thing we've learned so far, this dude does not feel pain, apparently, because he just doesn't care.
No, I'm pretty sure he's just a bug in an Edgar suit is what we're seeing here.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants sugar.
Sugar water.
In water. But and he just plops down next to Han. He's like, Jonas Ram is your ally, stupid. Try to remember this.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to keep murdering these guys. I need you to take my dumb biot, mm-hmm. and you're going to go ahead. All
Do
right?
not deflower her. That part's not grown in yet. It's mostly metal.
And I already put in the access code for the door over there. You go on ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take care of the Nargons.
Yes. And so he just stands up and starts catching all the blaster bolts on one of his hands and lightninging the Nargons with the other one.
Yeah, he's got full go time powers.
He's very, very powerful. I'm still pretty sure that he just got possessed by a stored ghost inside.
That's
got to be what happened here, is that he's just being ridden by a powerful Sith spirit from inside the monolith.
Yeah.
And that's why he's so crazy good. So Han's just like, fine, I guess.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Every time I try and shoot one of these Nargons, it just bounces off of them anyway, so whatever.
Yeah, so he grabs the weird Leia.
Yeah, he grabs Biot Leia,
uh-huh.
goes to the door, heads into the other room, closes behind him, and then it's like, you have 30 seconds to give me access codes or die.
And he's like, oh, God damn it. They only got the first door open. Okay, I'm going to try punching this number in. And then Leia starts talking to him. Fake Leia starts talking to him.
Yeah, because at first he's like, ooh, maybe I'll just blast the control panel. Like, works in literally every scenario. But wait, the Kalumi would think that.
The Kalumi have seen these movies.
And then
we've seen every movie
except we don't count having seen The Last Jedi because that's some SJW crap.
Hi, we're the Kalumi. The special editions are the best version of Star Wars.
Oh, you are villains.
Oh my God, I hate them so bad.
So yeah, Bayat Leia is like, oh hey, what's up? You gonna
get this done?
You gonna, by the way, save me?
You look super familiar to me. Your name's Solo. You look super familiar to me, Solo. Are you my dad? And he's like,
your dad?
He's like, what? No.
Ew, okay. That made me even more uncomfortable than I already am.
But he's pretty straightforward with her because like she still has metal sticking out. And so actually, I don't know if she does. She's very full-formed Leia. So he's like, no, you don't have a dad. You're a robot's meat suit.
Yeah, you are a creation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Bayat Leia's like, but I still had my cells come from something.
Yeah, I've got DNA and genes, Han. They came from somewhere. Did they come from you? Are you my father?
Huh, daddy?
Dad. And she's just being this ultra creep to him. And eventually he's like, wait, there's probably a button on the other side of the wall that will open up this door and shut this down. Wait, can you use the Force? Of course.
Yeah, Jonas Ram taught me how to read and write and how to use the Force.
Yeah, Jonas Ram is great.
And also, you better hurry up and do something because if you don't save me, that would be very unmanly of you.
Yeah, she's just insulting him. And he's like, God, this is just like when I rescued her on the fucking Death Star. This time I have a chance to do it right. But he's like, okay, well then press the button on the other side of the door. Okay. And she closes her eyes and starts doing it. And it gets down to like 2 seconds. And then the door slides open and the countdown turns off.
And fucking,
this is the best.
Fucking Jonas Ram comes in doing the Leia Bayat voice and just being like, haha, I was using her as a puppet.
You dumb idiot. She can't talk.
She barely has any idea what's going on. This is great. Anyway, I just needed you to be all afraid and fucked up so that I could get strength enough to kill Nargons. Anyway, I'm a huge dick.
That was amazing. Jonas Ram is now my favorite character in this book. Because, yeah, he comes popping in. He's still lightninging Nargons and blasting blasting them with their own blaster bolts. And he just comes in and like, hi, Han, it's me, Leia. And he's like, oh, you son of a, yeah, it was me the whole time, you dumb shit. And he's just laughing. The book even is like, yeah, he's laughing so hard he's practically doubled over.
Yeah, he's barely able to concentrate on murdering Nargons.
Yeah, what a douchebag. And then they go through the door and slam the
door closes behind them. Yeah. And he's like, all right, well, now we got to get through this part. And he's like, oh, there's not actually a wall here. And he just walks through it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's all just a hologram. You could just leave anytime you wanted to. Fuck you, buddy.
What a dick. I love him. Well, they get to the next room, and the next room has kind of a balcony. And at the bottom of the there's a very low balcony, and right, it's over some solid black-looking obsidian.
Yeah, at this point, they're like, oh, we're actually like in the natural part of this instead of just the base that was built onto it.
Yeah, so Jonas Ram has led Princess or Fake Leia and Han to the entrance to the monolith.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, all right, now we all have to go in here. You can't go in unless you use the Force to open the door, so you have to come with me, Han.
And he's like, why would I go in there? Well, you want revenge. The only way to have enough power to murder the Krefts is to come with me in here and get Force power, like I did.
I want Han to be like, no, the Krefts are fucking morons. You can just put a bullet in them. I mean, I did it to their mom. Ha ha! It was me!
No, that doesn't happen.
I know. He didn't do that. He didn't kill their mom.
I mean, we don't know. He might have, but he doesn't say it yet.
Well, they're pretty sure he didn't at this point. They're like, there's only a 12% chance you did it.
But there's no one else with any percent chance that did. We've murdered everyone.
But that doesn't, I mean, they probably killed the person who did it a while ago, and now they're just being extra thorough.
No, it was probably Kratheus.
Oh, you think it's Kratheus?
I think Kratheus did it, mm-hmm. And then that's why Marvid is always so angry about it, but Kratheus is just calm. And he's like, oh, I'm manipulating Marvid.
Yeah, I like that. I like that thought.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, Han does not want to go into the room for the obvious reason that he's pretty sure that the monolith did whatever the hell happened to Bardoon to turn him into Jonas Ram.
Yeah, he's like, if I go in there, yeah, maybe I'll get some power, but I'm probably not going to be me anymore, so who cares?
Wait, am I going to get force lightning and telekinesis and crap? And
he's like, oh, hell yeah, you will.
Yes, you will, Han, and so much more.
You're going to get a soft serve.
Oh, you'll get two sets of force lightning and the length attachment.
Yeah.
Plus, for a short time, we'll include these steamer baskets so you can cook fish on the grill.
Who wants a salad spinner?
Or get your degree.
Yeah. So he's just like, look, you got to have the ability to destroy Nargons and actually make it to the Krefts.
Yeah.
So even if you think you could kill them without it, you can't get to them to kill them without being a badass dark side force user. So why don't you come with me?
I feel like he'd be
over
worried.
Here.
I feel like the line of reasoning that Han doesn't try here is, but wait, when you went in there as Bardoon, you came out as Jonas Ram. And Jonas Ram doesn't seem to really want to kill the Krefts. I mean, you've been playing poker with him for 3 days.
And he's at least like, oh no, you're not the only one the Krefts have wronged. You see, I once... And then Han stops him mid-sentence by blasting him in the face. And he stops it with the palm of his hand and doesn't care. He's like, no, come on.
Oh, let's go. And he uses the force to pick up Han, and he's planning now to just drag him in there.
Yeah, he's like, here we go.
And then it turns into a whole thing.
Bardoon Blitz.
A Bardoon Blitz, which apparently we'd already used that naming joke.
But yes, at this point, he's like, okay, I can't shoot him because he deflects it.
Yeah.
He's also pulling me towards him with the force, so I can't run away. I guess I'll use the knife I got from Murda Gev.
Mm-hmm.
So, and manages to... the little holdout pistol. He's got the holdout pistol.
He's got the holdout pistol. Because
he gave the knife to O'Holly.
Yeah, and he's already managed to shoot Jonas in the leg once. So he puts the holdout pistol up against the leg hole that he blasted into Jonas earlier and shoots in there.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, you can't deflect it if it's already inside you, so...
Yeah, and then Jonas kind of falters and almost takes a knee, but he's like, nope, that won't stop me.
Look, you may have blown my knee up, but I don't care.
I'm just using the force to walk now.
But he's all fucked up enough that Han can turn around and put the holdout pistol up to his head.
Yeah, and he manages to shoot him in the head, but this isn't enough to kill him. My guess is because, again, he's being puppeted by a force ghost. At this point, though, like, the security systems in the room turn on.
Yeah, because he stumbles backwards, even with a smoking hole in his head.
Yeah.
And falls down in the security room that's on the other side of the holographic wall.
Yeah.
And again, we start getting the, you have 25 seconds to put in the access code. And Han's just like, all right, I'm going to blast the control panel because I think that'll fuck things up. And indeed, when he does, it's like, authorization terminated. Goodbye. And like 12 blaster cannons show up and vaporize him.
Yeah, and that's the end of this chapter. So there we go. That's what happens. He tricks him. There's a part in here where Bardoon or Jonas or whatever you want to call him is like, hey, don't touch any of the control panels anywhere in here. All of them don't do what they look like they should. This is just all Kreft trickery. Everything in here is just bullshit.
Yeah, because this is the thing they give the most fuck about, all the stuff are tricks.
Yeah. Everything's a goofy trick. You just don't even... I don't even know why they put this crap in. It's literally just in here to be tricks.
Yeah.
Because they're going to control everything remotely with their dumb power bodies.
Well, no, because they do want to go in there personally.
No, I know. But that doesn't... Like I'm saying, they're going to control all the machines and doors and crap from this part of the building with just their power bodies. They're just going to be like, ah, door open. And it will, because they're giving the command for it to. Every other machine they've built down here is just traps.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, if someone else manages to get in here, we should have them get murdered.
Yeah. So that's pretty much where it ends. Sadly, Jonas Ram, the biggest dick in the universe, who I was really, really starting to like.
Just really rooting for the biggest asshole around.
Yeah. Gets blown up by a lot of guns at once, and he's just gone.
And in this altercation, I don't think we mentioned, fake Leia takes a blaster bolt to the head as well.
Oh yeah, so we've also lost her. So the whole setting her up for love and with Omad in the future is thankfully gone.
Oh, thankfully Thawne.
You're not fully Thawne. Unless you're EO Bard Thawne.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is. There's a Reverse Flash
there
reference.
It is.
That's what everyone wanted.
Everybody wanted Reverse Flash.
That's.
I don't want Dr. Zoom or whatever. I want Reverse Flash.
Reverse Flash is the better name.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a dick name.
What are you? Reverse Flash.
What does that mean? Oh, it just means like same power.
I flipped your color scheme.
Yeah, I have the same powers as you and I hate you. That's okay.
All right.
I kind of wish every hero had that.
I mean, I'm
Reverse Batman.
I mean, we do have Reverse Superman.
Yeah, but he's not called Reverse Superman. He's called
Bizarro.
Bizarro. But I mean, still, I just
and we
kinda,
do have Bat-Zarro. To be fair,
that is you got me there. But still, I just kind of wish there was a dude who was just like, "What are you? Oh, I'm Batman, but my cowl is blue and the middle part of my cape is black." I guess. I reversed my blue and black color scheme.
Oh, wait
a minute. You can't fucking tell.
I think Reverse Batman is just Moon Knight.
Yeah, I guess Reverse Batman could just be. It'd be great, though, if that's what Moon Knight called himself.
Hi, I'm Reverse Batman.
I'm Reverse Batman. You can't sue me for it because I put the word reverse in front.
Reverse, reverse.
I hate the Reverse Joker. Also, I hate regular Batman. I think that should be my thing.
That should be my thing, but I also hate Reverse Joker because the makeup doesn't make any sense, and also, I guess, because he's the Reverse Joker, he just kind of does nice things for people.
I mean, there is technically a Reverse Joker, and I'm not talking about the Batman who laughs. I'm talking about the Creeper, who was originally designed to be what if the Joker had the same origin story but decided to be a hero.
Oh, see, I was thinking of... like the Joker from Earth 2, which is the good guy Joker.
Oh, yeah, where he's the jester.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many good Jokers.
Yeah.
I think we've gone through like three good Jokers now.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Dwella Dent.
Oh, yeah. Shit, dude, this is there's too many of these. Or well, no, that one's still a bad Joker. I was going to say the Martha Wayne one from the Flashpoint universe.
Yeah, bad Joker.
Bad Joker. Another evil bad Joker. Okay. Well, anyway, anyhow.
That's been DC talk.
Oh, a little Marvel, too, because we mentioned Moon Knight.
Yeah.
I've heard there's a show about him that's in development.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's three. We know about the Disney Plus shows that are based on MCU characters that existed already, like the WandaVision and what have you. But then there are, like, three more off in the even distanter distance that are, like, Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, and Moon Knight.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited about those.
Oh, yeah. Those are the ones I really want.
Yeah. I'm a little bummed. I found out recently that apparently Stephanie Beatriz, who I love from Brooklyn Nine-Nine,
yes.
was approached to do She-Hulk, and her schedule wouldn't let her do it.
I know.
I
wanted that so bad. I love her so much.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was like, no, can't do it. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I kind of hope they get Alison Brie instead.
Well, she's already said no.
Has she? Damn.
Well, I mean, their whole casting thing was, we want an Alison Brie type. And Alison Brie went, not me, though.
Damn it. I would hope she heard that and been like, yeah, I'm an Alison Brie type.
She's like, no, I got to do season 4 of Glow or something. Anyway.
Nah. Whatever. Make Horse Girl 2. okay, so anyway, that's what's up with Marvel talk, I guess.
I guess.
That's the end of this episode of Expounded Universe. Who knows what lies in the last, like, four chapters of this book?
I don't know. Probably the couple of people who have already read it.
Oh, yeah, those people know.
Yeah.
They'll know what's up. Not me, though.
Not me.
Yeah, so
I don't want to read ahead. I like coming to the episode and being like, God damn.
What? Yeah.
Why?
Who would? Okay, well, to find out, you'll just need to tune in next week when we reveal yet another episode of Expounded Universe.
And if you can't wait that long for more Star Wars content, you know what time it is. It's time for us to plug the Patreon.
Go to patreon.com/systemmastery and support us at the $2 level, and you'll unlock bonus content for Expounded Universe. We call it Expanded Expounded Universe because we're little knuckleheads who don't want to get sued by Disney. On that show, we go to Wikipedia, we find dumb things from Star Wars, we come right on back to the website, and we report them to you and to each other.
Yeah, now maybe you've been on the fence up until this point.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you're amazed.
Maybe you're like, hey, I don't really need all this extra content. I'm just going to listen to it on like my drive to and from work, mm-hmm. and that's fine. But maybe COVID-19 means you're working from home, and now you've got all this time on your hands.
I don't know if we should use the coronavirus for marketing purposes, but on the other hand, I don't know that we should.
If there's a global pandemic, maybe us?
I mean, I feel like a lot of people are going to start pulling their funding from us if it gets really bad, because they'll be like, we can't afford, we have to spend all our money on toilet paper.
I've got to spend $5,000 on toilet paper.
We live in a world where toilet paper is the only construction material left.
It's the only currency we have left. I'll give you 2 toilet papers for a pack of smokes.
Well, at our new level, for only 2 rolls of toilet paper, you can unlock... the expanded Expounded Universe bonus content.
Hell yeah, we go to Wikipedia, we find dumb nonsense and weird stories, we tell it to each other, we tell it to you, we tell it to the Lord God our Savior.
Mm-hmm. This is getting real, you keep making things I'm not sure I'm going to agree with.
Oh yeah, I keep taking real hard lefts every time I talk about our bonus content, I don't know why.
Just trying to throw me off my game.
Yeah, you're like, oh, yes, and wait, what?
John, I'm too tired to be thrown off my game right now.
I have no game.
I have no game whatsoever.
Can't be thrown off your game if you don't have game.
John, my eyes are closed. I painted eyes on earlier. I'm sleep casting.
Ah, good. Great. I love it.
Mm-hmm. So please, stop on by that Patreon, patreon.com/systemmastery. There are other levels with other content that you can unlock, that you can discover by visiting us there. It's a great way to keep us doing these shows and... You know, I mentioned it on Twitter the other day, but there are 312 episodes of bonus content on the site right now.
God damn, we have so much stuff.
And you unlock all the back issues when you sign up, which means if you're just looking for some podcasts to dig through.
Yeah, if you're like, man, what I want is a backlog to work through while I'm hanging out somewhere. Baby, we got you covered.
I can't believe we've done that much shit. So stop on by and support us at that $2 level. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, now I'm going to go eat a sandwich. But until such time as we return to do the bonus content, I've been Elan Sleaze Boggiano.
And I love goo sticks.